Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1042, I will talk about a horrific and bloody 2022 year for Palestinians in occupied Palestine, and will also share some of the remarks delivered on November 30th, 2022, at which Al-Haq organization and its partners launched a landmark coalition report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism. The report explores Israel's settler colonial and apartheid regime imposed on the Palestinian people. The year 2022 recorded yet another bloody, horrific, and devastating year for the nearly 7 million Palestinians who live under Israeli occupation, strangulations, blockade, and discrimination throughout occupied Palestine, in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, in the Gaza Strip, and even in the 1948 areas. 240 Palestinians were killed by apartheid Israel in 2022, including 47 children. 171 were killed in the occupied West Bank, and that was the highest number of Palestinians killed there since the Second Intifada of 2000. Apartheid Israel also targeted journalists in 2022 and killed veteran Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Aqleh. Shireen was a prominent, world-renowned journalist who was working for Al Jazeera TV and was assassinated by the Israeli occupation forces in the occupied West Bank on May 11, 2022. Shireen was 51 years old and was respected worldwide for her professionalism and coverage of the occupied Palestinian areas for the past 25 years. Shireen was wearing a bulletproof vest marked with the word press in English and also wearing a bulletproof helmet, but the Israeli occupation snipers targeted her and shot her in the head, killing her instantly. Al Jazeera producer Ali Al-Samoudi, who was with Shireen Abu Aqleh, was shot in the back by the Israeli occupation forces. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI, under tremendous pressure, opened an investigation into the assassination of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Aqleh, and Al Jazeera Media Network submitted a formal request to the International Criminal Court in December 2022 to investigate and prosecute those responsible for killing Shireen Abu Aqleh. Over the past 20 years, at least 25 Palestinian journalists were killed by apartheid Israel. In the year 2022, approximately 10,000 Palestinians were injured by apartheid Israel. In 2022, the Israeli occupation forces kidnapped at least 6,500 Palestinians from the occupied Palestinian areas. In 2022, and according to Palestinian officials, more than 832 buildings and infrastructures belonging to Palestinians were demolished by apartheid Israel, and at least 13,000 olive trees were uprooted. Many are talking now about the newly elected right-wing fascist Israeli government led by Benjamin Netanyahu and are warning of more catastrophic measures against the Palestinians, as that government is described as the most extreme right-wing Israeli government ever. Please make no mistake about it. It does not matter who is in charge of apartheid Israel. It does not matter whether it's Likud, Labor, or whatever name is out there. Israel is a Zionist settler colonial project. Translation? Get rid of the indigenous Palestinian population and bring Jews from all over the world to live in Palestine. Period. And that project, that started over 100 years ago, is still underway and is being implemented day in and day out in Palestine. In another word, Israeli apartheid, murder, killing, extrajudicial executions, assassinations, home demolitions, and forced displacements will continue in order to get rid of the Palestinian people from Palestine. Benjamin Netanyahu, who was elected recently to head apartheid Israel again as a prime minister, said in a series of recent tweets, quote, The Jewish people have an exclusive and unquestionable right to all areas of the land of Israel. Unquote. He also said, quote, the government will promote and develop settlement in all parts of the land of Israel, in the Galilee, the Negev, the Golan, and Judea and Samaria. Unquote. So which part of that don't we understand? Again, Israel is a Zionist settler colonial project. Get rid of the indigenous Palestinian population and bring Jews from all over the world to live in Palestine. Period. Towards the end of 2022, and in a historic plenary vote that occurred on December 30th, 2022, the United Nations General Assembly voted in favor of submitting a question for an advisory opinion on the question of Palestine to the International Court of Justice. 87 United Nations member states voted in favor of that. Palestine's ambassador to the United Nations, Dr. Riyad Mansour, whom I've interviewed a few times on this program over the years, made this brief remark at the United Nations after that historic vote.
We thank all delegations that voted in favor of the draft resolution before us. The General Assembly has now requested an advisory opinion on the violation of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, the prolonged occupation, settlements, and annexation of our land, and discriminatory legislation and measures against our people, undeterred by threats and pressure. This vote and request comes one day after the new Israeli government was formed, pledging to accelerate colonial and racist policies against the Palestinian people. We trust that regardless of your vote today, if you believe in international law and peace, you will uphold the opinion of the International Court of Justice when delivered, and you will stand up to this Israeli government right now, because freedom, justice, and peace shall prevail.
In the year 2022, Amnesty International, a non-governmental organization focused on human rights with more than 10 million members and supporters around the world, released a new report on February 1, 2022, labeling Israel an apartheid state. That was not the first time a prominent and internationally recognized non-governmental organization issues such a report labeling Israel an apartheid state. In 2021, two other reports were published by Human Rights Watch titled A Threshold Crossed, Israeli Authorities and the Crimes of Apartheid and Persecution. And another report released by the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem documented Israeli apartheid against Palestinians in its report, A Regime of Jewish Supremacy from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, This is Apartheid. And just a few weeks ago, on November 29, 2022, Al-Haq Organization on Occupied Palestine and its partners released a landmark coalition report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism. The report explores Israel's settler colonial and apartheid regime imposed on the Palestinian people. Al-Haq is an independent Palestinian, non-governmental human rights organization based in Ramallah in the West Bank. By the way, Al-Haq is one of six organizations apartheid Israel had labeled as terrorist organizations in 2021, and in August 2022, Israeli occupation forces stormed the offices of the six Palestinian civil rights organizations, including Al-Haq, Ad-Damir, the Bisan Center for Research and Development, Defense for Children International Palestine, Union of Agricultural Workers Committee, and the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees, and also raided the offices of the Health Workers Committees. The Israeli occupation forces ransacked the offices, stole documents and equipment from them, and welded their doors shut in an attempt to shut them down and prevent them from doing any work. Back to that newly released report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, released on November 29, 2022 by Al-Haq organization and its partners, I'm going to air now some of the remarks delivered at a special event held in occupied Ramallah in the West Bank to talk about that report. Let's begin by listening to the keynote speech by Francesca Albanese, United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories, occupied since 1967, who submitted her own report in October 2022 to the United Nations on the Situation of Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territories.
So first of all, I want to thank Al-Haq for inviting me to give the keynote speech on the launch of this outstanding report that, as Shawan says, draws the critical connection between the apartheid regime and the settler colonial project that Israel has imposed on the Palestinians. As you know, my mandate is limited because it only focuses on the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory. But yet, I salute your effort to approach the situation through the prism of self-determination and the unity of the Palestinian people as a whole. I was pleased to see also that the drafters of the report relied extensively on my first report as a special rapporteur. For this, and for your trust, I really thank you. I agree with you that the recognition of the apartheid regime imposed by Israel on the Palestinian is cardinal and has shifted international focus from the often decontextualized analysis of violations of international law committed by Israel, which are approached in a siloed way, as if they were occasional occurrences here and there. No, I think it's critical to expose, as the anti-apartheid movement does, to expose the very system through which the Palestinians are dominated under Israeli rule. My only critical observation in the report has been that the apartheid framework per se, as it's been used, not necessarily by the Palestinians, but many international organizations and international voices, circumvents without resolving one critical issue, which is very clear in terms of international law and consensus, the recognition of the Palestinian people's collective right to self-determination, which is the reason why I decided to focus on this topic with my first report. So the long-standing structural component of the prolonged disenfranchisement of the Palestinians under occupation, which has been carried through Israel's policy to replace and displace the indigenous people with foreign civilians, is not necessarily captured by the apartheid framework per se. Because, as Shawan was saying in the beginning, we are not talking of what happens inside Israel only. Israel also occupies 22% that remains of what was historic Palestine and has no sovereignty over that territory. This is something that should not be missed. I'm agnostic about the form of state that should one day be the place where the Palestinians or the Palestinians and Israeli live. This is not up to me as a special rapporteur. But what I can say is that first and foremost, in the name of the right of self-determination, the occupation must be dismantled unconditionally. And so the settler colonial endeavor, the settler colonial enterprise. So I believe that the progressive appreciation of what apartheid is and means in the Palestinian case will help de-South Africanize the apartheid framework. And this is important because on the one hand, I noticed that many in the international community still struggle to absorb why Israel has imposed, that the regime that Israel has imposed on the Palestinian is tantamount to the crime of apartheid. But they struggle with it because they think apartheid, South Africa. So this is, it's important, and Palestine and the anti-apartheid movement in Palestine is helping that the South Africanization. And this has a dual implication. First, it will help universalize a framework which condemns and punishes discriminatory regime under which are made of widespread and systemic policies and practices. This will become part of the international conscience and might be used to bring justices in other cases where the crime of apartheid might be committed and it has not been identified as such. Second, it might also allow to understand and overcome the limitations of the South African experience as enduring in the post-apartheid South Africa. Because this, I mean, the undealt with colonial legacy of apartheid is still what prevents the South African people to enjoy full equality. So unless domination, the structure and mentality of domination is undone, the fight against apartheid will not be completed. This is what can be drawn from the South African experience, where colonialism clearly was not defeated, was not fully unpacked. So the regime that Israel has imposed on the Palestinians, where apartheid and illegal occupation, informed by a settler colonial logic, tells us that if the root causes of apartheid and its settler colonial nature are not undone, domination will still remain. In the report that I presented to the General Assembly last month, I call for a paradigm shift in the way the Israel-Palestine question is approached. This might be premised on the realization of the Palestinian people's right of self-determination, which is the collective right par excellence. This is not just the essential and human rights an essential pillar of the human rights system, as it's rightly pointed out in the report, but it's also the fundamental pillar of the UN Charter. And in this vein, the achievement of the right of self-determination is connected to the realization of the international rule-based order that emerged from the ashes of the Second World War. This essential pillar is what allowed me to analyze what is happening in the occupied Palestine territory as an act of aggression. So it's not just a violation of human rights law, a violation of humanitarian law, including the law of occupation. The very violation, the very prevention and intentional engineered prevention of the right of self-determination is an act of aggression. So because it's an illegitimate use of force. And this is a critical element that needs to feed the discourse. Moving forward, there are two recommendations or thoughts that I would like to share. And one was inspired by something I read in the report that you are launching today. At page 18, the report reads, "The institutional arrangements within the UN system has acquiesced to and administratively solidified the Palestinian people's spatial segregation and fragmentation by the Israeli regime." This passage is critical because it puts the spotlight on a tendency within international community, including the UN, to accept whatever emanates from Israel as normative axiom. This stands in stark contradiction with the UN and the UN's and human rights community mission. It is an oxymoron to strictly abide by the policy emanating from an illegal regime, while at the same time serving the mission to advance human rights and development in the international law-based order. And there is another passage in the report which mentions that the World Organization has yet to begin repairing its own disarticulated approach and structural flaws that have contributed to the denial of Palestinian self-determination and other rights, and remedy the unlawful situation created by the Israeli settler colonial apartheid. It's absolutely necessary to hold the international community, including the UN, as present and as engaged with the question of the occupied Palestinian territory day in and day out, to hold them close to your goals in the pursuit of this endeavor, the dismantlement of a settler colonial apartheid regime. I also call, and with this I move to the conclusion, I also underscore that achieving these goals entails challenging the entire approach to the question of Palestine, and not only from an international law, from an international community perspective, but also from within Israel and the occupied Palestine. I insist that both Israelis and Palestinians are part of Israel's anachronistic settler colonial endeavor, and both Israelis and Palestinians have a role and interest in liberating themselves of and within this endeavor. This shall not downplay how each part, the how the Israelis and the Palestinians are part of the problem and suffer. Because of course there is no similarity, then is there is no equation. I keep on saying one is the occupier, the other one is the occupied, one is the colonizer and the other is the colonized. And at the same time, it's necessary to build the resistance, the legal resistance to this regime together. And I want to leave you with a powerful message from Italian partisan and writer Primo Levi, whose work and experience has been an integral part of my own upbringing. Primo Levi says, an enemy who sees the error of his way ceases to be an enemy. And this message is very powerful because, in my view, it's crucial to unify efforts and build bridges across parts of the society, across societies that do or should work together toward the same aim, toward the liberation of the Palestinian people from Israeli domination and the humanization of life of what are today Israel and the occupied Palestine.
That was Francesca Albanese, United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967, delivering her keynote remarks at the launch event of the newly released report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, organized by Al-Haq Organization. Let's listen next to the remarks of Rania Muharib, one of the authors of the new report, who is also a Shabaka policy member and a former legal researcher and advocacy officer at Al-Haq Organization, talking about this new report.
So in this report, we analyze Israeli apartheid as a tool of Zionist settler colonialism. We do so in order to bring forward the eliminatory and population transfer logic of Israel's apartheid system and its efforts to displace and to replace the indigenous Palestinian people on the land, which is the logic of settler colonialism. We argue that a decolonization approach is central because it situates apartheid within the broader settler colonial context, which is something that Palestinians have advocated for many decades. We have advocated for a decolonization praxis in countering Israeli apartheid, recognizing apartheid as a form of settler colonialism rather than pursuing a liberal equality approach without decolonization, as Lana Tatoul put it. While we are encouraged by growing recognition of Israeli apartheid, we note that Zionist settler colonialism and its eliminatory and population transfer logic remain missing from many recent analyses and reports by Israeli and international human rights organizations. It's this gap that we seek to fill in this report, which is published by Al-Haq and endorsed by Palestinian human rights and civil society organizations. In the report, we seek to address the ongoing Nakba of the Palestinian people, and this is what frames our understanding of settler colonialism and apartheid as structures of Palestinian dispersal, dispossession, discrimination, and domination. We remain convinced, as we argue in the report, that without the complete and radical dismantling of Israeli apartheid and of Zionist settler colonialism, dignity, justice, liberation, and self-determination have no future in Palestine or elsewhere on earth. I think it's first important to mention that there's a long history of Palestinian anti-apartheid mobilization. Palestinian scholars have long understood that Zionist settler colonialism premised on the removal and replacement of the indigenous Palestinian people from the land is an inherently racial project, which Palestinian scholar Faiz Saigh described as early as 1965 as akin to apartheid. Critiques of Israeli apartheid, in particular by Palestinian scholars, have since been rooted in a rejection of Zionism as a form of racism and racial discrimination and a tool of settler colonial domination. It's building on these critical contributions that the last two decades have seen tireless activism, organizing, and campaigning by Palestinians and allies around the world to challenge Israel's regime of occupation, colonialism, and apartheid. In 2001, for example, Palestinian organizations joined global civil society at the World Conference Against Racism in Durban, where Israel's brand of apartheid and other racist crimes against humanity were recognized in the NGO Forum Declaration. In 2002, the Palestinian grassroots Stop the Wall campaign began to challenge Israeli apartheid and the construction of the wall in the occupied Palestinian territory. And critically, in 2005, a broad coalition of Palestinian civil society organizations issued the call for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions against Israel for its regime of settler colonialism, apartheid, and occupation, until Israel complies with international law. Building on this long-standing work, the present report in particular follows nearly 4 years of active research and advocacy by a Palestinian-led coalition of human rights organizations. The coalition's current campaign and the present report began in 2019 in the lead up to the review of Israel by the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination in December 2019. In November that year, the coalition and partners presented a comprehensive parallel report to the committee detailing Israel's breach of its obligations to prohibit and eradicate apartheid within its jurisdiction and territory of effective control as required by Article 3 of the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. Drawing on this submission, which is available on the Al-Haq website, the present report significantly expands on the analysis presented in 2019 and builds on Palestinian civil society's decades-long advocacy on the root causes of Palestinian oppression. For over 3 years, the coalition's joint advocacy efforts, particularly in the UN system, have allowed for important discussions on Israeli apartheid to take place with key actors, including civil society, states, policymakers, and practitioners, enabling a growing shift in the to-date largely fragmented approach adopted towards Palestinians, in particular within the UN. The coalition's ongoing campaign has opened up a broader discussion on the need to address the root causes of Israel's widespread and systematic human rights violations, including the crime of apartheid against the Palestinian people. As a result, the UN Human Rights Council witnessed increasing discussions on Israeli apartheid since 2020, including the recognition of Israeli apartheid by a growing number of states, such as South Africa and Namibia, and civil society organizations. However, there are gaps in the current discourse that this report seeks to fill. Some of them have already been mentioned by Shawan in the introduction and by Francesca. The gaps that we seek to fill are the absence of settler colonialism from the current debate, the absence of the role of Zionist ideology and institutions of colonization, and of course, an inadequate focus on the right to self-determination of the Palestinian people, which Francesca's first report comprehensively sets out. An understanding of Zionist settler colonialism is necessary for a comprehensive articulation of Israel's apartheid regime. The ideology that forms the basis of Israeli apartheid was expounded and institutionalized before the so-called proclamation of the state in 1948. Its roots lie in the preceding decades of Zionist settler colonization of Palestine from the 19th century onwards. We explain that Zionism emerged within the context of European imperial expansion in the 19th century and was modeled on racial conceptions of human sciences and the nation state. In its quest for territorial conquest, Zionism was founded as a settler colonial movement whose ideological commitments were inherently racial. Despite, as we say, the ethnic diversity of Judaism's adherents throughout the millennia, the dual factors of European Christian persecution of Jews and the rise of racial theories in the 19th century sought to attribute adherence to Judaism with a single distinct racial group. In this historical context, the late 19th century Zionist movement embraced this view of persons of Jewish faith as a distinct race, enshrining it in the charters of Zionist institutions, including of the World Zionist Organization in 1897, the Jewish National Fund in 1901, and the Jewish Agency established in 1921. These Zionist institutions apply this racialized distinction as a matter of unique Jewish privilege and supremacy over all others, exercised through the exclusive entitlement to so-called Jewish nationality, which is superior to mere citizens in Israeli law and policy. We explain that since its establishment in 1948, Israel has entrenched a system of domination over the Palestinian people with the goal of engineering a Jewish demographic majority through Zionist settlement, colonization, and the transfer of the indigenous Palestinian people from their lands. As prerequisites for the creation of an exclusively Jewish state in Palestine, the Zionist movement theorized and planned the forcible transfer of Palestinians and their dispossession. Through Israeli laws, policies, and practices, particularly pertaining to nationality, residency, land, and property rights, the Israeli regime racialized and fragmented Palestinians as a tool of domination. These longstanding policies are rooted in Zionist ideology, which constitutes Israel's raison d'etat, as we explain. Writing about Zionist colonization in 1965, Faiz al-Sayegh saw racism as integral to the project of establishing a Jewish state in Palestine. He argued that Zionist doctrine demanded racial purity and racial exclusiveness. He viewed Zionist colonization as akin to apartheid already then, prior to the 1967 occupation. We explain that settler colonialism is distinct from other forms of colonialism in that it seeks primarily the replacement of the indigenous peoples on the land. The report also looks at the law prohibiting colonialism, building on the 2009 study of the Human Sciences Research Council, but also, of course, the work of Palestinian civil society and human rights organizations, such as Bedil. We explain that for too long, the international discourse on Palestine has fragmented the Palestinian people and obfuscated the root causes of the regime of prolonged, widespread, and systematic human rights violations. This long-prevailing conflict paradigm has entrenched fragmentation and international complicity in perpetuating Palestinian oppression. Describing the situation reductively as a conflict between two parties that needs to be solved by the parties is a misleading approach. Rather, the occupation is taking place in the context of ongoing Zionist settler colonization and apartheid, of which it operates as a tool. Failure by states to recognize this important distinction disregards applicable peremptory norms of international law and the purposes and principles enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations. It also disregards their responsibility to refrain from assisting and maintaining the unlawful situation. The apartheid framework allows us to shift the international discourse on Palestine from one focused on a misleading conflict or slippery slope paradigm to one centered on implementing the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. Applying this framework aims at overcoming Israel's foundationally racist and settler colonial regime, including the machinery operating the ongoing Nakba, the prolonged occupation, and the blockade of the Gaza Strip. In this, we concur with the UN Special Rapporteur on Palestine, Francesca Albanese, that a paradigm shift is needed to realize the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people. The comprehensive legal approach that is advocated for in this report seeks to overcome the inadequacy of previous focus on international humanitarian law alone in Palestine, often in isolation from other legal frameworks. In this report, we look at international humanitarian law together with international human rights law and international criminal law, drawing on the prohibitions of apartheid and colonialism. The report looks at how Israel has established and maintained an apartheid regime over the Palestinian people, but it also offers recommendations and conclusions for further action, in particular for accountability to address this regime. Apartheid is absolutely prohibited under international law. International criminal law criminalizes apartheid as a crime against humanity, giving rise to individual criminal responsibility for the perpetrators. I will conclude by noting that through the implementation of the Zionist settler colonial project, Israel has institutionalized a regime of racial domination and oppression over the Palestinian people. This is not a new reality, but the continuation of decades of settler colonialism, ongoing Nakba, and apartheid. The international law framework prohibiting apartheid offers avenues to punish perpetrators of the crime, whether in the courts of third states through the principle of universal jurisdiction or at the International Criminal Court. It requires third states not to recognize the unlawful situation resulting from Israeli apartheid, not to aid or assist in the maintenance of the situation, and to cooperate to bring it to an end. Importantly, Israel's institutionalized regime over the Palestinian people cannot be understood nor dismantled without an appreciation for its settler colonial nature and character. The dismantlement of Israel's settler colonial apartheid regime must involve a decolonization praxis toward dismantlement of all structures of domination, exploitation, and oppression, and the realization of Palestinians' inalienable rights to self-determination and return, as provided for under international law. It is for the Palestinian people to reclaim their agency and pave the way toward a future of justice, dignity, self-determination, return, and liberation. We hope that this report has done justice to the decades of tireless work by Palestinian activists and organizers on the ground who have advanced our own understanding of the root causes of Palestinian oppression.
That was Rania Muharib, one of the authors of the newly released report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, organized by Al-Haq Organization. You are listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Next, we will listen to the remarks of Tamam Mohsen, advocacy officer at Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights in the besieged Gaza Strip.
I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Al-Haq and all who contribute to this report for their impressive work, and who, despite Israel's repressive campaign, they continue their work unabated. Well, in an ideal world, I'd be by now with you in person because I'm only 2 hour drive away from Ramallah. However, Israeli apartheid colonial regime doesn't allow me to do so. So like millions of Palestinians, I have only no life under Israeli occupation and apartheid. And the past 15 years under a severe closure and restrictions that restrict the free movement of over 2 million Palestinians residing in the Gaza Strip. As you know, that Palestinians who wish to leave the Gaza Strip to the West Bank or outside the occupied Palestinian territory through air crossing, which is the only pedestrian crossing between Gaza and Israel, we can do so by applying for an arbitrary and discriminatory exit permit system imposed by the Israeli authority. This system is meant to deny Palestinians their fundamental right to freedom of movement, but it also serves to deepen and expand Israel's apartheid and colonial regime against Palestinian people as whole. It's actually a centerpiece of the Israeli policy of territorial fragmentation and racial separation. Israeli apartheid against Palestinians in Gaza, manifested in 15-year-long blockade and enclosure, has resulted in more than 2 million Palestinians being isolated, segregated, and entrapped in the large open-air prison. The settler colonial enclosure on Gaza has shattered the hopes of a whole generation of Palestinians that any 16-year-old Palestinian from Gaza who lived his or her entire life locked into a tiny enclave with no opportunities to attend university on the West Bank or without adequate health care in case she or he gets sick. And with the trauma of now 5 large-scale military assaults that caused the killed of thousands of Palestinians, including children, and caused a massive destruction to civilian infrastructure and health centers. Israel's comprehensive settler colonial closure has increasingly undermined all aspects of life in occupied Gaza and eroded Palestinians' enjoyment of their inalienable rights, including the rights to life, health, work, education, adequate housing, self-determination, and return. Not to mention that around 70% of Gaza's total population are refugees who survived the Zionist ethnic cleansing between the 1947 and 1948. Following this years of long years of closure and blockade in the Gaza Strip, it's notably that living conditions in Gaza have consistently deteriorated, with poverty and food insecurity standing at 53% and 64% respectively. Around 1.3 million Palestinians in Gaza, which is about 2/3 of the total population, need food assistance. The closure takes the heaviest toll on medical patients whose treatment is rather unavailable in Gaza due to the longstanding closure and recurrent military attacks. Israeli authorities actually continue to deny patients access to healthcare outside the Strip and undermine their right to the highest attainable standards of health. Really, over the years, it has become clear that Israeli policies and measures towards the Gaza Strip have sought to re-engineer the demographics of the entire Palestinian population here. And the measures have fractured the society and the economy while isolating people in a small segregated group with different legal status into territorial domains. A year ago, Al Mizan published its report titled The Gaza Bantu Stance, Israel Apartheid in the Gaza Strip. This report was built on 20 years of documentation on the ground and a very careful legal analysis of Israel's settler colonial closure of Gaza. And we firmly concluded that the blockade is a substantial part of Israel's holistic regime of apartheid and century-long settler colonialism, which meant to oppress, fragment, and racially segregate and dominate over the Palestinian people as whole. As today, we by and proud to stand by our colleagues and friends from Al-Haq and other Palestinian civil society organizations. This groundbreaking new report is the result of years of relentless research and advocacy by Al-Haq and other Palestinian civil societies that, despite Israeli constant attempts to discredit their work and silence them, they continue their impressive work. This report actually comes at a key moment. It's now necessary to shift our advocacy out, to shift the mainstream discourse on Israel apartheid to one focus on Palestinians' voices And this must be done by first acknowledging that its root causes, it's namely Zionist settler colonialism. I'd like to thank Al-Haq again for inviting Al-Mizan to join the launch of such an important report. And we would like to confirm that you will continue to stand together to dismantle Israeli settler colonialism and settler colonial apartheid until the Palestinian people are able to fully exercise their unalienable collective right of to self-determination and in return. Thank you.
That was Tamam Mohsen, advocacy officer at Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights in the besieged Gaza Strip, speaking at the launch event of the newly released report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, organized by Al-Haq Organization. Omar Barghouti, a founding committee member of the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel and a co-founder of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions BDS movement, also participated at the launch event of the newly released report. Let's listen to his remarks.
On behalf of the Palestinian-led global BDS movement, I salute Al-Haq and its coalition partners for producing this distinguished and indispensable report on apartheid as a tool of Israel's settler colonial regime. It's a defining moment in the history of Palestinian human rights organizations and their valuable contribution to the struggle. The report cites the 2017 ESQA study of apartheid, which analyzed Israel's strategic fragmentation of the Palestinian people, legally, politically, and geographically, as a primary method to impose apartheid and deny us our inalienable rights. An often ignored but integral part of this Israeli strategy is the colonization of Palestinian minds, building an iron wall of despair, isolation, and powerlessness to sear into our consciousness the primacy of realities over rights and of adaptation to oppression over liberation from it. In partnership with the US, the EU, and international institutions that they hegemonically control, Israel has deployed the so-called Oslo Accords, not just to further colonize our land, but also to redefine the Palestinian people, reducing it to merely the 38% who live in Gaza and the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. The Oslo-connected revisionist attempt to redefine us, coupled with Israel's escalating brutality and heightened impunity, was the main impetus behind launching the BDS call in 2005 by the absolute majority in Palestinian society, in historic Palestine, and in exile. Inspired by our people's century-old popular struggle, by the movement that helped end apartheid in South Africa and Jim Crow in the United States, our theory of change is from the grassroots to the grass tops. It sounds simple, yet demands not only that great Palestinian virtue of patience and sumud, but also reconciling ethical principles with strategic effectiveness. To affect policy change, we must build people's power with support from mass, social, racial, climate, gender justice movements, trade unions, progressive political parties, academics, artists, students, churches, progressive Jewish groups, sports clubs, LGBT communities, and so on. The BDS call and the movement based on it have played a leading and profound role over the past 17 years in resisting this fragmentation, in insisting on our full menu of rights, as Desmond Tutu puts it, and in building a global movement supported by tens of millions that translates meaningful solidarity to a praxis seeking to end international state, corporate, and institutional complicity in Israel's decades-old regime of settler colonialism, apartheid, and military occupation. This movement categorically rejects all forms of racism, including Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. Insisting on the holistic rights of the indigenous people of Palestine, especially the right of refugees to return and to reparation, the BDS movement from its inception in 2005 has asserted our people's unity. Our call for effective, meaningful international solidarity is based on three basic points. First, the indivisibility of justice, as Angela Davis puts it. John Dugard once said, Palestine has become the litmus test for human rights. He was referring to how the global South measures the West's sincerity on human rights, or lack thereof, partly based on how it deals with Palestine. The West's unabashed colonial hypocrisy on Ukraine and Palestine today has aggravated revulsion at its patronizing pontification about human rights. The second factor is the intersectionality connecting our liberation struggle with struggles for justice worldwide. Israel's regime of oppression, after all, harms not only Palestinians and Arabs, but also millions worldwide. It is a key partner of fascist groups and authoritarian regimes in the West, of far-right and despotic regimes in the global South. It tests its military security technologies, spyware, and colonial doctrines on Palestinians and sells them globally as battle-tested. The third and last factor is the profound ethical obligation to do no harm and to repair harm done in one's name. In relatively democratic states like the US and most of Europe that are deeply complicit in Israeli crimes against Palestinians, Saudi and Emirati massacres in Yemen, ethnic cleansing in Myanmar, and other grave human rights violations worldwide, citizens must strive to end the complicity of their state, corporations, and institutions. This is not charity. It is basic solidarity. With Israel's apartheid dropping its last worn mask, and as a result of many years of planting seeds of meaningful intersectional solidarity, we're witnessing an unmistakable, inspiring shift in support for Palestinian freedom globally. Recognizing this shift, Israel's prime minister earlier this year said, quote, calling Israel an apartheid state was a slowly creeping trend for a very long time. And in 2022, it will be a real threat, end of quote. Largely blaming BDS for this trend, his government allocated this year alone tens of millions of dollars for its ongoing legal propaganda intelligence war on the movement. But this all-out Israeli war of repression against BDS is failing. Giant sovereign funds in Norway, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have divested from Israeli or international companies and banks that are implicated in Israel's illegal settlement enterprise. Veolia, Orange, and other large corporations have been forced to abandon illegal Israeli projects. Global South leaders are joining our call for dismantling apartheid. BDS has won the endorsement of major international trade unions, and mainstream churches in the US have divested from complicit companies or banks. Tens of thousands of cultural figures, academics, have endorsed our institutional boycott of Israel. In partnership with the Palestinian Human Rights Organizations Council, we've developed a joint antiapartheidmovement.net website as an important movement resource. As stated in this brilliant Al-Haq report, the Palestinian consensus calls for intensifying international pressure to, at the very least, mobilize support at the UN to reconstitute mechanisms to investigate and dismantle Israeli apartheid, implement targeted proportional economic sanctions, sever diplomatic, cultural, and trade ties, and suspend existing trade and cooperation agreements with Israel. 3, implement a mandatory and comprehensive arms and security embargo against Israel. 4, ensure that individuals, corporate actors, and other for-profit and non-profit organizations involved in the commission of the crime of apartheid and other crimes against humanity and war crimes to be held to account at all levels. 5, and last, make complicit Israeli and international corporations and banks pay a dear price in reputation, contracts, and profits to compel them to end all involvement in Israeli apartheid and settler colonialism. To end, Toni Morrison wrote in her novel, Beloved, quote, definitions belong to the definers, not the defined, end of quote. Palestinians have learned the hard way that unless we clearly define ourselves, define our oppression, and define our aspirations, our oppressor will do it, erasing our history, confining our dreams, and incarcerating our future. Al-Haq's unapologetically Palestinian report is a gem that will certainly help in refining the Palestinian definition of the regime of oppression we've been resisting for over 74 years, and crucially, in confirming that meaningful solidarity entails ending complicity, first and foremost, to help us dismantle this oppressive regime so we can all breathe freedom, justice, dignity, and equality in our tormented but promising homeland. Thank you.
That was Omar Barghouti, a founding committee member of the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel and a co-founder of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement, BDS, speaking at the launch event of the newly released report titled Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, organized by Al-Haq Organization. I have a link to that newly released report, Israeli Apartheid, Tool of Zionist Settler Colonialism, on our website, arabvoices.net. During that special launch event on the newly released report, Al-Haq Organization also released a film documentary titled Israel's Settler Colonial Apartheid Regime, Segregating the Palestinian People. Let's listen in.
For more than seven decades, Israel has maintained a regime of institutionalized racial discrimination and domination over the Palestinian people as a whole. This regime has its foundations in Zionist ideology, which, like other ideologies based on supremacy, promotes racial discrimination. The Zionist movement called for the creation of a state exclusively for the Jewish people, and following years of internal discussions on where this state would be established, the Zionist leadership considered several states before eventually deciding on Palestine. The movement theorized that the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine required the colonization of the land and the permanent forcible displacement of the indigenous Palestinian population. In the phase that ensued, Zionist ideologues prepared for the colonization of Palestine. In 1901, the Jewish National Fund was established to buy land in Palestine for Jewish settlement. During the British Mandate in 1917, United Kingdom's Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour declared in a letter to Lord Rothschild, a leader of the British Jewish community, that His Majesty's government view would favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. As a result, the British facilitated the transferring of Jewish migrants to colonize Palestine. However, following decades of colonization, including through the Jewish National Fund, the Jewish population remained a minority with minimal land ownership. When the British mandate in Palestine ended in February 1947, the United Kingdom decided to transfer the question of Palestine to the United Nations. In November 1947, the United Nations decided to partition Palestine into an Arab and a Jewish state. The partition plan gave the future state of Israel 56% of the territory of Mandate Palestine, despite the fact that the Jewish population at the time owned less than 7% of land, and the Palestinian population represented more than two-thirds of the total population. In effect, the United Nations was endorsing mass land appropriations in violation of fundamental rules of international law and the recognized Palestinian collective right to self-determination. The Zionist leadership also developed strategies to deal with the Palestinian indigenous population, which it termed a demographic problem. These strategies included clear operational orders for the systematic and total expulsion or ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. Zionist militias destroyed 531 Palestinian villages and 11 urban neighborhoods and expelled their populations, leading to 80% of the indigenous Palestinian people becoming refugees and internally displaced within their own country. Following the establishment of the State of Israel in May 1948, successive Israeli governments adopted policies, practices, and laws to legitimize crimes of forcible transfer, property appropriations, and dispossession of the Palestinian people carried out by the state and parastatal organizations, and to ensure that these crimes could not be reversed. This legal arsenal lays the foundations of Israel's apartheid regime. To impose its apartheid regime, Israel has strategically fragmented the Palestinian people into at least or separate geographic, legal, and administrative categories to ensure that Palestinian refugees and exiles living outside of Mandatory Palestine, Palestinians living in the territory that became Israel in 1948, Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip, and Palestinians living in Jerusalem cannot meet, group, live together, or exercise any collective rights, in particular the right to self-determination. Apartheid is the overarching legal framework and the context within which Israel commits its widespread and systematic human rights violations against the Palestinian people. Just as with the Zionist movement, Israel's overall objective continues to be expropriating Palestinian land and altering the demography by forcibly displacing Palestinians into enclaves or bantustans and facilitating the illegal transfer in of settler Israeli Jews into newly created Jewish localities on both sides of the Green Line. To maintain Israeli Jewish domination over the dispossessed and fragmented Palestinian people, Israel has created a hierarchy of privilege for the Jewish population under its constitutional law. In 2018, Israel adopted the basic law, Nation State of the Jewish People, which declared that the exercise of the right to national self-determination in the State of Israel is unique to the Jewish people. It further establishes Jewish settlement as a national value, giving constitutional force to racial segregation within the Green Line and the expansion of illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territory. In order to maintain the apartheid regime and facilitate settler colonization, Israel applies illegal policies such as collective punishment, mass arbitrary detention, and torture. It maintains a coercive environment to force Palestinians out of their land and silences opposition to suppress resistance to apartheid and subjugate Palestinians. Today, Palestinians on both sides of the Green Line are mobilizing to resist Israel's latest efforts to forcibly transfer Palestinians from Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in Jerusalem, acts which constitute a continuation of the Nakba and Zionist settler colonialism in historic Palestine. These inhumane acts also amount to the crime against humanity of apartheid, for which individuals can be prosecuted and held criminally accountable. However, 73 years of international inaction and complicity has enabled Israel to continue committing inhumane acts of apartheid since 1948 with impunity. The first step to genuinely address Israel's crimes is by recognizing the situation in Palestine as one of apartheid and settler colonialism. The application of the apartheid framework recalibrates the facts on the ground into the correct legal framework that reflects the reality of maintaining Israeli-Jewish racial domination and institutionalized racial discrimination and oppression over the Palestinian people as a whole.
That was a film documentary released by Al-Haq organization titled Israel's Settler Colonial Apartheid Regime, Segregating the Palestinian People. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.